Well, this week, as Norma Foley, Minister for Children, Disability and Equality, announced reforms to the assessment of needs process, 15-year-old Cara Darmody was staging a 50-hour sleep out outside Leinster House. Cara is a disability advocate, but more importantly, big sister to brothers Neil and John, both of whom have profound disability. And Cara is on the line now. The weather warning didn't deter you, Cara. This was your second sleep out. Remind us what your advocating for.
First of all, before I start, I just want to say hello to all of your guests and listeners, and thank you so much for having me. I suppose it all comes down as to why I did this was the recruitment campaign, because look, the government has moved on this issue and there's no doubt about that. And I have to give credit where credit is due, because they did give 20 million euros recently to what they call Cara's Fund, and they've agreed to keep the 6-month timeline to assess. And I'm grateful to that. But unfortunately, I did it because of they gave me a couple of asks. But the main ask they did not give me was the national recruitment campaign, and that they did not make that public enough. And as you already know about Minister Foley's announcement, there are three main things that stand out to me about that. And I'm going to talk to you about those now.
Yeah, so the first give us an idea, because and just to clarify to people, this change to the assessment of needs process, this assessment was carried out by the HSE that looks at a child's needs and provides a diagnosis on disability. And now we are seeing big change in the area. And you welcome that, but you do say that there are a number of problems with it.
Yes, there's three main things, and I'm going to get straight into it now. The first thing is that it's not clear who will be making the decision as to which children get what therapies, and they need to clear that up as fast as they can, as it's causing massive confusion. And they're also going to need to be very clear on what appeal process is going to be in place, as parents may disagree with their decisions. Secondly, they're going to need to staff these new assessment teams properly. And the proposal is currently is to have one psychologist, one SLT, one OT, and one administration officer. But the problem with that is, what if one or more of them like gets sick or like takes work leave or whatever? So like the staffing is going to have to be right for this to work, because if it's not, there's going to be a big problem. And finally, number three, which is ultimately the elephant in the room and why I did my protest and why I slept on the dirty street for 50 straight hours in Stormbrand, the therapist. Without enough therapists, we are dead in the water. And it's really just as simple as that, because I convinced them to run a national recruitment campaign, but it was kept quiet under the third secret of Fatima. And the vast majority of politicians, HSE staff, and even private providers that I had spoken to hadn't even heard of it. So we now need a massive visual and national, international recruitment campaign that's going to be so visual in the media that it's going to make Donald Trump blush. Okay. And I'll make one final point. Our system is not built to deal with almost 22,000 amazing and beautiful children sitting, rotting on assessments of needs waiting lists. And we're going to need an emergency plan to deal with that specifically. So my two questions for the government will be, firstly, what is your exact plan to deal with the 22,000 children rotting on the assessments of needs waiting list? And secondly, are you going to launch a massive national and international recruitment campaign to finally find the therapists that are needed? And I'm willing to do it with them. And all I need is the exact date and time to turn up to government buildings, because I have my suitcase all packed and ready to go.
Cara, you're doing the work for us here. So we do appreciate you asking those questions, summing it up so succinctly, the answers you want from our politicians today. Best of luck. We appreciate you joining us today. Cara Darmody there.
Thank you so much. Have the best day.
Thank you, Cara. OK, to come to you, Paul McAuliffe, on this, it's been laid out fairly clearly by Cara Darmody. She's reflecting what a lot of families around the country may be thinking right now about this reform that has come. They may say, we have been waiting a long time for this, because there are 22,000, by year end, 22,000 children on the waiting list for assessment, because every case is a child waiting for a diagnosis to get those key supports that they need. Did Minister Norma Foley announce this reform because of the failure to get those assessments done in the required time and those very long waiting lists?
Well, look, I should first of all say I think Cara has been a tireless campaigner on this issue. She's been before Oireachtas committees where I've been there, and she's incredibly articulate. And I think she echoes the concerns and the experience of many people who have either siblings or children. And it's a very obvious that the current timelines around assessment of needs are not working for those people. It's very, very clear as well that there's reasons for that. Like a third of people who go through the assessment need process will end up with a diagnosis of autism. A third may not receive any diagnosis, but will still need treatments and therapies. And a third of all the time of therapists is being dedicated to assessments rather than the provisions of treatments and therapies.
But so just to clarify, this system has been in place since 2005.
Yeah, so under the watch of
successive governments, for 20 years that system has been in place.
Yeah.
Are you saying that system is simply not fit for purpose?
Well, that's the reason we're reforming it. We have to reform it because I suppose across the House, I think TDs are united that the current system isn't working for the people it's meant to work for. Now, some of that is the demographic change. Like you say, as you say, there's 18,000 to September of this year. Mm-hmm. There'll be 22,000 by the end of the year. That shows the increase of over a couple of months with 4,000 children shows the scale of the demand here. But we can do this better. It's very important to say that the announcement this week was about treatments and therapies, not about education. Okay. And secondly, it's about ensuring that there's a standardised approach to assessments of needs. And it's not about removing any particular right or any timeline around the right to assessment needs. That stands.
That's unclear to people when you say it's about therapies and treatments and not about education. When we know the assessment of needs has been needed for children to access special education. So what are you saying? Are we scrapping the need for assessment now?
So the announcement this week was to amend Part 2 of the Disability Act to standardise the assessment of need process and to make it more efficient, to take into account existing reports and so on. Okay, that's what the announcement this week related to. There's also going to be a dedicated pathway for people where they're suspected of having autistic traits or where they may have traits of autism. But that will significantly help people get an assessment earlier or more information earlier in the assessment of need process. All of that is separate to the placement of education. And what the Minister of Education has said is that from January, there will be an announcement in the new year in regards to the way that children are assessed for special education. At the moment...
So there's going to be multiple assessments. There'll be multiple tracks for parents to follow.
At the moment, assessment of needs is being suggested assessment of needs are needed, for example, on housing applications, on school applications. And they shouldn't. The assessment of needs is a clinical process that's used in terms of treatments and therapies. We can look at different ways in order to assess whether somebody should get a treatment. And as I say, autism is one area where people need treatments and therapies, but there's many areas where people will need a treatment or therapy, and we need to free up the time of therapists to do that. And that will happen from next year. For example, we're putting in place 45 special school teams in order to deliver treatment therapies in special schools, and that will roll out to mainstream schools. So there is a priority from government, and I'm seeing that in the announcement this week, and I'm looking forward to the announcement in regards to education earlier in the new year. But I think it's important for teachers to know that there was no announcement this week that specified
how or what they will have to do. You know, don't worry about it from an education point of view.
I'm not saying that.
There's
of course,
more coming.
Exactly.
All right.
There will be an announcement in the new year.
I do want to bring the rest of my panel in on this. Are you very clear, David Cunanan, on what's been announced by government, which they say will clear the backlog, will essentially fast track the process of diagnosis for their children or of accessing those key treatments and therapies which families are crying out for?
No, I'm not. And I think there are a number of fundamental problems. So if you just go back to the very start here in 2005, when the government of the day brought in that act that provided for a legal right to an assessment of need. And the whole logic of that act was to ensure that each child would have a comprehensive assessment, that would determine the level of health and education supports that each and every child would need. And then at the end of the year, an aggregate report would then be furnished to the ministers and government to let them know essentially what capacity is needed. So what's happened over the last 20 years is that for many families and for children, they have got neither the assessments or the services. And this is what really drives parents mad, because when they hear government representatives say, well, you don't really need an assessment to access services, when these families can't access any of those services, they can't access speech and language therapy, occupational therapy, child psychology, And even those who do, it's very patchy. It's only a fraction of what's needed. And we had an attempt in the most recent past by the same government to circumvent the law to bring in what I called a yellow pack assessment of need. That was struck out by the High Court. The government were found to be in breach of the law. That was clearly designed not to help children, but to essentially reduce waiting lists. And I can, if I can read from the press release that the minister announced when she talked about these changes, and she hasn't published the guidelines yet, the statutory guidelines, so obviously we'll have to wait and see what they say. But it says that the proposal is to use clinical assessments only when necessary. So that raises fundamental questions such as who decides what is necessary, as Cara said earlier, and how do we prevent under-assessment? And I suppose my real concern here is that we've seen reforms before, and the reforms have been more about reducing waiting lists and curtailing entitlements as opposed to delivering for children. And the core issue here, because you can have as much process change as you want and have new systems, unless you have the therapists, unless you have the staff, which we don't, most of the teams are only staffed at about 70% of their capacity, and even that wouldn't be enough. So unless we increase training places, which we've been calling for now, I've been having this in my alternative budget each and every year, massively increased training places. Unless we do that, we're rearranging the deck chairs as opposed to actually putting the capacity in to ensure the children can get assessments, yes, but as important or more importantly, the actual services that they need.
Yeah, I mean, are these key assessments not necessary, Paul McAuliffe? You know, there are 22,000 families waiting for them right now. Is what you're announcing simply a way of making those waiting lists go away?
No, this is about providing treatments and therapies to children who really need it.
But how do you know the children that really need it if they haven't been assessed? Do you understand?
And it's important to say that the announcement that's made, it is proposing to change legislation. So it's going to go through the full process of the House. There's going to be pre-legislative scrutiny. There'll be opportunities for people to contribute and so on. So the announcement made this week was around the changing of the legislation, part two.
So is it about prioritising, the most difficult cases?
No.
I mean, what are you saying? Is it tiering the system now?
No. We've said that there'll be a dedicated pathway for people who are being assessed for autism. I think that's an improvement. And of course, people will have questions. Of course, people will be sceptical. I fully understand people who have that approach. But there will be a dedicated pathway. We've increased the number of people by 26% who are in CDNT teams. We have reduced vacancy rates that are there. CARA's fund, the 20 million, is being used to procure private assessments and needs in order to reduce the waiting list. So we are on all fronts, changes are being made. But on the assessment and need process,
is that patchy, using private assessment of need?
Well, actually, the public and the private system is patchy, and that's why we want to bring in a standardised approach to and statutory guidelines, because at the moment, assessment needs are being done differently in different places.
Just one very quick point. The pathway is the pathway to nowhere for far too many parents, and that's the problem. So you can have as many processes and pathways and talk about that. All families want, all parents want, is to ensure that their children can get the assessments, but also the speech and language therapy and the occupational therapy. And unless you recruit more staff, nothing that the government says is going to make it any better. We have to
employed more staff, and I think you'd acknowledge that.
OK, I do want to bring Laura Harman from Labour in at this point. Thank you for joining us this afternoon from our Cork studio, Laura. Your view on these reforms that have been announced, perhaps many would say the devil is in the detail. Do you believe there's enough detail? Do you think they look promising for those families who are crying out for the needs assessment?
Well, I think it's as clear as mud, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, the changing of the rules that we're seeing here, you know, is different to fixing the delays. And I don't think this is really about reform. I think it's an admission of failure. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we have families here who are waiting for assessments. They're waiting for therapies, school places, school buses. At the end of the day, they just want to get the care, the support that they need. And I mean, let's look at the figures again. I mean, 18,000 people currently waiting for an assessment of need. We know that this is going to rise to over 22,000 by the end of the year. The government have a responsibility to get these done in a timely manner. And I've loads of questions in relation to this. I mean, one of my questions is the buck passing, you know, from department to department. What role exactly will the Department of Education have in relation to this? We have teachers contacting us asking what role they'll have to play. We know that 85% of teachers in this country are experiencing some form of burnout currently. And when asked, when the Taoiseach was asked during the week by my colleague, Deputy Owen Kenny in the Dáil, about this, he wasn't able to give clear answers. So we need answers. We need answers for parents. We need answers for teachers and families, and the public deserve answers. And ultimately, you know, as Cara said, and I want to commend Cara, she's a credit to herself and to her family, to her community, and nobody should have to protest and sleep outside Leinster House for 50 hours in the middle of winter against this. But we do need proper resourcing here. And ultimately, it comes down to workforce planning. It comes down to resourcing, recruitment, paying conditions for staff. And I mean, I met with the HSE Southwest 2 weeks ago, and they said one of the key issues really in the health service and across the board is staffing and retention. And we absolutely need to be able to solve that if we're going to be able to solve this.
OK, there are a number of things. And again, it's reflecting what Cara Darmody told us at the top of the programme about the needs that are necessary in order to make these reforms work. We do know that that statutory time frame remains a challenge, that a child will be assessed within 6 months, Paul McAuliffe. Nationally, 9% of assessment reports were completed within that 6 month timeline.
Yep.
I mean, that's looking at a huge percentage that aren't, and there have actually been legal cases in relation to assessment of need showing that 398 cases have been settled in 2025 because people are simply not receiving a diagnosis and supports that are necessary for their children. So, and people will be wondering, what's going to change here? Because if we have change coming about in September 2027, what happens to those 22,000 children on a waiting list facing a massive backlog?
Look, it is very clear that children are currently being failed by the process, and the state has failed to meet the timelines in the legislation. There's no doubt about that, Claire. But the government is not doing nothing and just accepting that. We're bringing forward changes. And look, there won't be any one silver bullet here. I think Cara talked, for example, in the area of recruitment. We do need to do far more in recruitment. I know there was a kind of virtual recruitment campaign which included an international element to it, but I, like Cara, would like to see more international recruitment. But, for example, the new treatments and therapy teams that are going to be put into special schools and that then will hub into the wider school network as time goes on, that is a significant shift from where we are at the moment and will provide more treatments and therapies. So the government knows the issue. What we're trying to do is bring forward changes that will address it.
We got a text in from Margaret saying the problem is the number of psychologists, speech and language therapists and OTs employed by the HSE. My concern is that all that will happen is that these therapists will be moved from one current team to a new team, but still the same number of therapists able to do the same amount of work. David Cullinan, I mean, trying to staff up in this area, when you look at the backlog that has existed essentially since this assessment of need was probably devised, that's going to be difficult to clear.
What's really frustrating is that since I've been the health spokesperson for Sinn Féin for over 5 years now, I've been raising this issue, and every year in our alternative budget we put forward plans to massively increase training places. I've attended meetings right across the state, in Monaghan, in Cork, in Limerick, in my own constituency in Waterford, meeting with children and parents of children with disabilities, and all of those 5 years I've been told we need to increase staff. And yet, while there has been some increases, nothing like we need. As I said, most teams are not even fully staffed. My concern here is that what we have at the moment is waiting lists out of control and children utterly being failed. And the reforms which are being talked about potentially are more about reducing those waiting lists, not by giving children assessments, but by limiting their access to assessments and essentially saying you don't need them. And that's a real concern. So unless we see those statutory guidelines and what they actually entail, given that the government in the past have form here tried to circumvent that assessment process and had that struck down by the High Court, parents will have a genuine fear because, as I said, their biggest concern, yes, it's assessment, but it's actually the services. A child needs supports to develop. That's why a child needs them. And for far too many children, early assessment passes them by because we don't have the staff.
Yeah,
David is wrong there, Claire. I mean, this is not about denying anybody access to the teams.
Are you changing the way the assessment process works for those 22,000 children and growing? Because that is, it's gone from 18,000 to 22,000 between September and December. What's it going to look like by next summer? What's it going to look like by the end of next year?
It's really important to say that David is wrong in saying that this is about denying people access to assessment needs. That is not what this is about.
Will the resources be there for people? People
will still be entitled to access and assessment needs. On your point about training places, the Minister James Lawless has made significant changes. Like even, for example, in terms of tapping into those training places that are north of the border, increasing the number of training places right across, and also working with Coru, who deal with allowing people from abroad to convert their qualifications to operate here in Ireland. All of those measures are happening in order to recruit more. This isn't simply about resources. It is about recruitment, and we do solve it long term by putting in the training places.
And I think when we're talking about resources, we're covering recruitment within that, indeed staffing up the system.
Yeah.
Laura, I want to bring you in on this point because we're getting a number of texts in on the issue of resourcing and actually the services not being available, and that those in the education system are being stretched to the limits, and that this vague announcement, says one texter, is the final straw and teachers can no longer take on the failings of other services.
Absolutely. And I mean, teachers need answers here and they deserve answers. And we can't just pass this issue from pillar to post and from department to department. You know, we need concrete action. And ultimately, you know, it's very clear that this is an admission of failure from the government. There is also no clarity in terms of the timelines being provided. Are they going to be able to meet their legal obligation to get assessments of needs done within a 6 month timeframe? We don't have a clear answer on that. They haven't been able to answer that. But look, it is about recruitment. It is about paying conditions for workers as well, and quality. We know that we're losing a lot of key workers to the private sector. We know we're losing a lot of graduates as well, unfortunately, because of the housing crisis here. And Minister James Lawless does need to step up to the mark in terms of workforce planning in our education system and training in relation to this. But it needs to be treated urgently. We can't govern by press release here. It can't be announcement after announcement. We need real action. We can't have Cara sleeping out again next winter. This absolutely needs to be solved, and it needs to be solved soon, and we need to get answers for teachers, for parents, and for those who are being deeply affected by this.
And we do have a statement from the HSE just regarding workforce. The HSE have told us that in 2026 they will develop and deliver a disability specific workforce strategy. So that's what we're hearing from them, and I suppose the sense of what we're getting today is that there's more announcements to come, and that may bring increased clarity.
Well, I'd use the word action. There's more action to come.
We shall see. There, we'll take a break. When we come back, blister packs.
Saturday on RTE Radio 1.